Have you ever been in an impossible or hopeless situation? Thinking back over the years I've lived on a farm, I can think back to many of them that seem situations that seemed hopeless or impossible. One time we were loading up a bull for market, and we were trying to get him on a trailer, and he did not want to go on the trailer. And no matter how hard we tried to get that cow on the trailer, he did not want to move. I mean, we were using pitchforks, we were using shocking machines, we were using everything we possibly could. My brother Tim was using all of his strength to try to push the cow. We could not get that thing to move. Last summer, my dad sent me out to the hay field on Highway 83, and I was pulling the disc bine to go cut hay, and it was first cutting hay, and if you know anything about that, that field down on 83, there's a spot that's pretty wet. And I made my first pass around the field, and I'm like, well, it seems pretty dry to me. And I made the second pass around, and all of a sudden the tractor just sunk way down in the mud. And I'm like, oh boy. So I quick put it in reverse, tried to back up, and the tractor sunk down farther. So I put it in forward again to try to get it to go, and the tractor had sunk all the way up to the axles, and the machine was buried completely. I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, I went and grabbed the other tractor, hooked the chain up, and I still couldn't get the tractor to budge. And I'm like, well, I'm going to have to try to get our Bobcat out here to try to get this thing unstuck. Well, an hour or two later, I had to go to a job site, get the track machine, bring it over there, hook a chain up. The track machine couldn't get it out. So I had to dig 2 feet in the mud to unhook the hay cutter, get it completely detached, pull it out of the mud, then pull the tractor out of the mud. And that was a pretty hopeless, impossible situation until I had the machine there. Spiritually speaking, have you ever been in a hopeless or impossible situation? I think back to eighth grade. One day we were about ready for lunch, and Miss Raines got a text on her phone saying that Brother Griffin was in a pretty impossible situation. And I just remember thinking back all those years of knowing Mr. Griffin, how much he meant to me. And that day at lunch, none of us felt like going to recess. We all wanted to sit down and pray for Brother Griffin because it was a pretty hopeless and impossible situation. But God answered. I mean, Mr. Griffin was out for at least 15 minutes, and God stepped in and answered. In Mark chapter 10, we see a pretty hopeless situation. If you look, we're going to begin reading verse 45, and we'll read to verse 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Tonight I'd like to preach a sermon entitled, Faith That Calls Out. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this evening that you've given us, Lord, to be in your house. We thank you for your word, and Lord, that it speaks to us, and Lord, your Holy Spirit shows us areas in our life that we need to change. And Lord, I pray that as I bring forth your word tonight, that it would be a challenge to me, Lord, to be a challenge to the people here at Maquoneago Baptist Church, and Lord, that we would do something about the truth that we've learned tonight. I pray in your name. Amen. Faith that calls out. Now, blind Bartimaeus was in a pretty impossible situation. First of all, we see a helpless individual. Blind Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway side begging. He was blind. And we see here that this man was pretty hopeless. He was hopeless. He realized there was nothing that he could do except beg for money because he was blind. He couldn't work a job. He was blind. And he was cast out of the city as a useless individual. He was hopeless. He was blind. He was poor. And in verse 47, we see here that he cried out for help. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." How did blind Bartimaeus know who Jesus was? Often when people have one sense of their body missing, they're also stronger in another way. Blind Bartimaeus, he was blind. So one thing that he had to be good at was hearing. He often heard people, no doubt, speak of Jesus as they went by the way. He no doubt heard stories of how Jesus could heal people. He no doubt heard stories like the feeding of the 5,000, how Jesus fed multitudes of people. And blind Bartimaeus realized, you know what? I'm not in a hopeless situation if I can meet Jesus. He realized that he was hopeless, but there was someone that could bring him hope, and that was Jesus. There was some man that had performed miracles over and over and over. He had turned water into wine. He had fed the 5,000. And blind Bartimaeus heard about this Jesus, and he said, "I want to meet him." And he sat by the roadside daily begging for people to have mercy on him. But then he heard about someone that could have mercy on him that would last forever. And that was Jesus, a hopeless individual. Folks, we have many hopeless and impossible situations in our life. We have the situation like with Brother Griffin, how he was out for at least 15 minutes, but God brought him back. That was impossible. I think back to when we built the school wing and the addition on the back of the church building. And the church owed thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, but God provided in a couple years and paid off that mortgage. I think of the time that my dad tells a story of when they were putting the addition on the front of the building and they needed to finish a project. And God caused it not to rain just where the church was. Everywhere else it was raining, but at church it wasn't raining. Folks, we have a God that does impossible things. We have a God that gives hope to the hopeless. What situation do you have in your life that's hopeless? What situation in your life is impossible? God can work that situation out. If you're in a hopeless or impossible situation, realize your need. First of all, realize your need. Secondly, remember Christ. Thirdly, respond in faith. Realize your need, remember Christ, respond in faith. First, a hopeless individual. But secondly, we see a helpful servant. A helpful servant. In verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus came to serve and to save. And this blind man knew that Jesus was there to serve him. I think back to Philippians chapter 2, where it talks about the greatest servant, Jesus Christ. It says, "He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And then he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." I think back to Luke chapter 9, where Jesus had compassion on the multitudes because he saw them scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. We have a helpful servant. And when we're saved, we have that helpful servant living right inside of us. If we're not saved, if you're not saved, you don't know who the helpful servant is. And when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to realize that there's someone out there that's there with you, that's going to be with you the rest of your life, living inside of you, to help you through those hopeless and impossible situations. He's our helpful servant. In this story, we see, first of all, Jesus saw a need. In verse 49, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. We see that Jesus saw a need. He stopped what he was doing, and he looked at the blind man. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He had all these people following him. He had something he needed to get done, but he stopped, and he saw a need. He stopped everything that he was doing, and he saw a need. He didn't just stop and see the need. Jesus stopped and asked about the need. Jesus knew that this man not only had a physical need, but he also had a spiritual need. And Jesus wanted to meet that spiritual need, most importantly, but he wanted to meet that man's physical need as well. Many times we're out going about our daily lives, and there's hurting people. There's people that need our help. There's only people that we can help. And God brings those people across our path to help them out. Not because he just wants us to help them out physically with their physical needs, but he wants us, most importantly, to see their spiritual need. You know, when you're driving down the road and you see a car pulled over on the side, I know sometimes you just don't see it. I know when you're going on the freeway, you're going pretty fast, but sometimes you don't see it. But that could be an opportunity to meet someone's need physically or whatever they need with their car. But then you can have the opportunity to try to meet their spiritual need. And Jesus wants to meet their spiritual need. He stopped. Jesus stopped what he was doing. Jesus stood still. He asked the man what he needed. You know, when you go to the store, I know this is a temptation for me as well. We want to hit that self-checkout line because we want to get out of there. And we want to get our stuff and get home. Especially when you really want a cold Mountain Dew. And you're trying to check out fast. And you want to get that thing opened up and drink it. And so you hit the self-checkout line. And as soon as you check it out, you crack it open and start drinking. Okay, I know. You have those needs. You have those physical needs that seem pretty important. You know, Jesus had those physical needs too. I know if Melody was going through the checkout line, she'd probably be getting one of those natural juices from the fruit section. But the fact is, folks, that Jesus had needs too. He had to get to Jerusalem. He had something to do, but he stopped. And he saw a man's physical and he saw his spiritual need. And he asked questions because he wanted to find out more about the man. He stopped and asked the need. And then, not only did he stop and ask about the need, he met the need. Verse 52, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. Jesus saw the need. Jesus stopped and asked about the need. And then Jesus met the need. Think of people in your life that have needs, physically or spiritually. You've got to think about their physical needs as well, because Jesus wasn't only concerned about their spiritual needs. He said he saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion on them. He met their physical needs and then he wanted to meet their spiritual needs too. You know, there's people struggling with alcohol, with drugs, and that's why we have an addictions ministry. There's kids that are living at home with their grandma because their mom and dad are nowhere to be found. There's kids that live with just their mom or just their dad. Or they don't live with any of their parents or their grandparents. They live with a sibling. That's some pretty serious physical needs, physical situations. Situations that seem impossible. But guess what? There's someone that can meet that impossible need. That hopeless situation. Jesus. There's hopeless individuals. There's a helpful servant. And then we see thirdly, there's a higher calling. Luke 18 also gives us an insight into this chapter, into this story. First, I'm going to read 52, verse 52 of Mark chapter 10, and then I'm going to turn over to Luke 18. It says, Jesus said to the man, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18, verse 40. We're going to read the end of the story in Luke 18, verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. First, we saw a hopeless individual. Secondly, we saw a helpful servant. That was Jesus. And thirdly, we see a higher calling. This man not only got his physical need met, but he got his spiritual need met as well. And what did that man do after his spiritual need was met? He followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Jesus told the man, Go thy way. But did the man go his own way? No, he went Jesus' way. Jesus said, Go thy way. But the man didn't go his way. He went Jesus' way. So after his physical need was met and his spiritual need was met, he followed Jesus. Because he realized that, you know what? I owe this man service. I owe this man glory. I need to give glory to God for my need that has been met. If you're saved here tonight, you have an obligation to Jesus. He's met, not only has he met your spiritual need, but there's other needs in your life that he's graciously met. And we owe him something. We owe him, number one, our life. But we owe him service. We're all familiar with Romans chapter 12. It's our reasonable service to give something back to God. You know that money you put in the offering plate on Sunday? That's for God's work. That's for the glory of God. But that's just a very minute part of giving glory back to God. You know, going soul winning every week and seeing people saved, that's just a small part of what God wants us to do. I know when I was studying this passage, I was convicted about the fact that many times we're thinking about people's spiritual needs, but we forget their physical needs as well. We forget the fact that they have other needs besides their spiritual needs. You know, Jesus came to minister and then to give his life a ransom for many. Because he knew that people had needs and they needed Jesus. And he was the only person that could meet their needs. But he came to those people intentionally, number one, to meet their physical needs. But he knew that when he was able to meet their physical needs, they would see a God that could do the impossible in their soul and take away their sin and bring them to heaven. Because they're imperfect human beings, but Jesus is perfect. And he can put his blood upon their life and save them. So what people in your life seem like a hopeless or impossible situation? What need do you have in your life that is hopeless or impossible? What did this man do? He heard about Jesus, but he did something about it. He called out to the Lord to heal him. And God not only healed him physically, but he healed him spiritually. Some of you here tonight need to be healed spiritually. You need Jesus to come into your life and save you. You need to have that faith, that saving faith, that 100% dependence on Jesus Christ. You need to have a repentant heart that says, you know what, God, I cannot do this myself. It's all through Jesus Christ. This man, blind Bartimaeus, he realized there was nothing he could do to save himself. He realized that it was all of Jesus Christ. He could not do one thing. And because of that, after Jesus met his spiritual and physical need, he realized he had a higher calling, that he needed to give his life to Christ. And he needed to give God service because of what God had done for him. We see a changed individual, a changed direction, and a changed destiny. He realized that he wasn't going the same way that he was before. He was going a different direction. You know, if you're saved, you're going a different direction than everybody else that's unsaved. You're trying to bring glory to Christ. You're trying to have that higher calling. If you're saved, you have a higher calling. You have a different purpose in your life. You don't have the same purpose as those in the world. You have a different purpose. You have a purpose of serving Christ or of bringing glory to his name. What are you doing about that calling? What are you doing about those hopeless and impossible situations in your life? Are you giving them to Christ, or are you trying to solve them on your own? You know, when the feeding of the 5,000 took place, the disciples were thinking about how they could meet the need physically and in their own strength. And that's why they thought it was impossible. They forgot that Jesus was standing right there with them, and he could have done the impossible. But they didn't have the faith that Jesus could do it. They're like, where are we going to go to buy enough food for these people? But what did they forget to do? They forgot to turn to Christ for his help. You know, in your life, you're going to have an impossible situation. And our first temptation often is to complain. Why are we in this impossible situation? But we have someone with us that's there to help us. And if you're not saved, you're missing out. You're missing out on someone that's there to help you when you need help. You have a helpful servant right there that wants to help you. But if you're not saved, you're not going to get to know that helpful servant. And you need to call upon the Lord tonight to save you. So think of that. A hopeless individual, a helpful servant, and a higher calling. What are you doing with those hopeless and impossible situations? And if you're not saved, you have someone willing to be your Savior, to help you out in your life. What is it in your life that's impossible? Give it to God. Be like blind Bartimaeus, who realized he couldn't do it himself, but he had to give it to Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this story in the Bible that teaches us a lesson on faith. Not only faith as a Christian, but faith, Lord, that saves us. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone here tonight that does not have that saving faith, that they would put their trust in you, that they would repent of their sin, that they would change their direction and start give their life to Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's any impossible and hopeless situations in our life, that we would give them to you, that we'd have the faith that you can meet those needs. Lord, we have a prayer bulletin full of hopeless and impossible situations. But tonight we're going before your throne to bring those hopeless and impossible situations to you. And I pray that we would call out in faith, realizing that you can meet those needs. I pray in your name. Amen.